traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's so crazy because you're adamantly not trying to have a kid, and your partner is, and yeah. I'm the opposite.
I'm
adamantly trying.
Why don't you guys just...
Don't say it. Don't say it. Please don't.
Oh, man. He didn't mean it.
I didn't say that. I didn't fucking say it. He fucking said it.
I've always said I can't do this shit by myself. And I can't. But I can do it if I got Danny. I got Danny. It's just me and Danny, me and you, Danny, 100 years and more. We're going to be doing this forever, for the rest of eternity. Doing Impulsive Podcast, the number one podcast in the world. Thanks for listening to us, guys, and subscribing and doing anything else you do to us with us. We like you. You know, we appreciate you. Full transparency. I am alone on set. If we could cut to a wide real quick, there's no one here. Not only that, there's no one operating the camera. For some reason, our 2 p.m. call time was completely ignored. It's 2:36 p.m. I am baffled. Why the fuck is no one here? I even sent warning texts. You did too, Danny.
I sent so many.
I said rolling in 5. Usually when I'm short and succinct like that, they know I mean business. And here's the problem. I meant it. So here we are. We're rolling, and on God, I will do this podcast by myself if I have to. And it's a shame, because we have a lot of good stuff to talk about.
You're doing great.
I'm doing good so far? All right, cool. Guys, this episode is brought to you by MyBookie. Whether you're down on your luck or just down because you're stuck, find relief with MyBookie whenever there's never a quarantine on fun. I am so sorry. That is literally exactly what it says. When there's never a quarantine on fun. All right, life without sports is finally nearing an end. Start off small or swing for the fences by making some bets with MyBookie. Earnings from MMA and simulated sports not coming in quick enough? Try your hand from the MyBookie Casino with instant access to hundreds of classic slots and table games. Stay safe and stay sane. From the comfort of your home, sign up right now. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code Logan, and they'll match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. If you put in $100, they'll spot you $50, so you're basically getting free money to play with just supporting the show. With MyBookie, you bet, you win, and most importantly, when you win, you get paid. All right, so now this is tricky because, like, normally we get into the meat of the episode, and again, completely alone on set. You know what? Fuck it. I'm leaving all this in. This is an ever changing, ever evolving show, and if I got to do this on my lonesome, I gotta get used to it. You know, that's what this is about. It's about evolution and adaptation. And I'm the king of that. So yeah, I'll run it by myself. I don't know if you guys saw this past weekend. A lot of stuff went down. We got the UFC fight, UFC 249 that happened without an audience is the first thing I want to touch on. And then when my friends actually fucking join me and do their job on the podcast, we can talk about other stuff. 6ix9ine. Oh, people. Oh, good to have you. Good to see you. Actually doing the thing that we said we were going to do 40 minutes ago.
Listen.
Hello.
Listen, here's the deal. Mike decided he had to take a call.
He goes, at 2:05, he comes in. He goes, can I do a 15-minute phone call? I go, that's weird. It seems weird you schedule a phone call right at the time we have a podcast.
It's been 30 minutes.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to call him out when he gets here. I think he's lying. I don't think it's a phone call.
No, I saw him on the phone outside walking.
You saw him on the phone?
Yeah.
Was it a phone, not a banana?
Right. He's just out there like talking to himself.
Or a banana.
Mike, how do you feel about this?
It's good to see you guys. I'd like to hear your excuses.
My excuse was that we were playing ping pong. This kind of an ongoing.
I hate both of you.
Why?
I made it so clear that we were starting at 2 p.m. and it's 2:39.
Yeah, but you were still sitting at the chair in the
waiting,
kitchen at,
waiting
at 2.
Patiently.
But then Danny was the one that texted us to come in.
Danny's a fucking hero.
Yeah. At least she's keeping things on track. But here's the deal. We're here now. Things are fine.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk, the first thing before Mike gets here and we like really dive in, because he doesn't really know much about fighting or anything athletic at all, and regardless, is the UFC fight. Okay, so for all my fight fans, for all my fight fans, you know me. I'm a fighter. I love fighting. I love watching combat sports. I love participating in combat sports. I have since I was young. And the UFC threw UFC 249 this past weekend. Do the math. We are in a global pandemic, quarantine, social distancing. There was no audience. It was, it might have been the first sporting event with no live audience watching. And typically in the past, historically, what makes the UFC so exciting is the crowd.
Yeah.
And so everyone was fascinated to see how this event would hold up. I'm a say a hot take here. I think I actually enjoyed it more.
Really?
Dog, fighting is not a sport where you need to feign energy to make it exciting.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like you can be in the middle of a fucking alley watching two dudes fight. Just you. You're the only audience member and you're just losing your mind. Like humans going at it is the most primal form of entertainment in the world. And so when there's no one watching,
yeah,
you hear every single punch.
Every punch. Every
bone.
Spit,
every spit.
Yeah.
Every sniffle.
Everything the coaches are saying.
The ref too. Yeah. Everything you hear at all.
I like it. I did like that aspect of it.
Bro,
it,
I was watching and I was stunned at how much fun and how entertained I was by this event. Mm-hmm. Like I have to tip my hat to the UFC for once again being able to innovate and be pioneers in an industry.
Dana was adamant about getting this going. That's what I'm saying. Island, right? Fight Island, that never happened.
It never happened. Yeah, but they were going to.
Could you imagine?
That'd be crazy. But yeah, everyone got tested for coronavirus beforehand. I think one of the fighters actually tested positive and he obviously was not able to fight. Wow. But the commentators, Joe Rogan, Daniel Cormier, and the other guy had to sit apart from each other. And here's the funny part. They can all hear each other at the venue. The fighters can hear the commentators.
What Joe Rogan is saying.
But everyone can hear everyone. So it's like if you give, I can't imagine the dynamic of like Joe Rogan saying something that could be perceived as like a coaching tip and one of the fighters hears it. And it was really fascinating. And honestly, one of my favorite UFC events ever. The fights were incredible. Francis Ngannou knocked out his opponent in 20 seconds. Henry Cejudo won yet again to become maybe the greatest combat sports fighter of all time. Wow. With 2 seconds left in the round, and I think of round two, he beat Dominic Cruz. And it's been cool to watch Henry literally just dominate his weight class. He was the one we had dinner with in Vegas.
Okay.
And he let me hold his two belts. If you guys remember the vlog where I like magically was holding two UFC championship belts, like I didn't win those and I never will. But the guy who did let me hold them, and that's Henry Cejudo. Afterwards, he announced his retirement. And then obviously,
so he's been in it for a long time.
He's been in it for a while, bro. I mean, he like Henry's interesting because he doesn't get the recognition he deserves for being as good as he is. Like, he's probably one of the sickest fighters ever. The dudes that he's beating are incredible, are incredible world-class athletes, and he's beating the shit out of them. But then he retired. And I think it's because he's not getting paid enough for being the best.
Mm. Fighting. So he's holding out, or do you think he'll come back, or what?
I think he'll come back, for sure. But okay. He just needs a break. But fighting is not a... like. Know your worth. We say it all the time. Henry Cejudo knows his worth. If the UFC is not paying him enough, like dip. Fighting is a dangerous, dangerous sport. You get hit the wrong way, years of your life are shaved off. Years of your life are shaved off. If suddenly you have a lisp that you didn't have because you're punch drunk. Yeah. Like whatever it is, you just have to be careful. And then that brings me to the main event. Justin Gaethje? Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson. I'm just going to say Gaethje because I'm full transparency. I did not know who this dude was before UFC 249. And my boy Jake Broida was telling me that he's this insane fighter. He never stops. He has really good technique. And I'm like, yo, that's all well and good, but Tony Ferguson is not a human being. I'm not sure there's UFC fighter who works harder than him. And this fight started happening. And I can say it was one of the greatest UFC performances I've ever seen in my life.
From both sides. I mean, Tony kind of shut down as he was getting... obliterated in the face over and over again.
How can you not? How can you not?
He stood up to it. He took it.
He. I mean, yeah. He's the dude is tough as nails. Yeah. Like you see the videos of Tony Ferguson like elbowing metal to like strengthen his elbows and get his bones breaking down and repairing themselves. So his forearms are literally just like weaponized steel. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you, boys.
Whoa. What are you doing here?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's good to have you
Paulson
on the
podcast.
On the podcast that we said we were going to do 45 minutes ago.
Got into some
Zoom call.
Book stuff.
Oh, because you're an
author. I'm with the literary agency, the agents, people.
I want to get into that in a little bit. Yeah. It's been a big week. Like I said, we have a lot to talk about. But real quick, I started studying and watching this Justin dude. And he got my attention. Fighting is a fascinating world where you can have no idea who a fighter is. And then one fight skyrockets them all the way to the top. And I think that might have been this fight for Justin Gaethje.
Oh, yeah.
He went in there, verbatim, he said he went in there ready to die. And that's why he performs as well as he does. He really means that.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to fight KSI, I was not ready to die. Nah. Nope. I got life to live. Yeah. Like, he goes in there willing to risk it all, sacrifice everything to get that W. And it's so evident in the way he fights. It was one of the most strategic, specific, smart fights I've ever seen.
Man.
Bro, he had so many opportunities to jump on a hurt champ. And he didn't, because he knew if he stayed grounded, strategic, and solid, he wouldn't get caught with a crazy punch from TF. So
that fight was all striking, man. None on the ground at all.
No, and those are two guys who you do not want to go hand to hand combat with. And afterwards, I liked that they gave him the belt, and he threw it away. He threw it to the side, and he said, "I'll wait for the real one," because it was the interim belt technically. So it's saying Khabib got the real belt, I believe, and so. I was like, okay, so this dude is a great fighter. Now he's moving with class, and then he goes to dap up Tony Ferguson, and Tony Ferguson like pushed him a little bit, and then Justin goes, "Hey, being an asshole is going to get you nowhere, man."
Yeah.
And it's just like, I really, really like a 360 degree fighter, and it looks like he is that guy. As far as him and Khabib, that's going to be a battle. That is going to be a war, but.
Did you talk about the lack of audience at all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a weird situation.
I liked it.
It was cool.
I liked it.
I mean, the audience is still there, you know? We talked to it with
Mike the Miz.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go harder maybe in WWE, but UFC, man, you put those 4-ounce gloves on and start coming forward as someone. It doesn't. Like you said, a fight's a fight. You're going to have to put the show on no matter what.
Bro, but you're in there fighting for your life. Justin was. There was a point in the Justin Ferguson fight where it went from like fighting to bullying. Tony Ferguson doesn't strike me as a dude who's easy to bully. And there were a couple strikes where Justin fucking whacked him in the face and then would like push him.
Yeah.
And the dude stumbles against the fence. And Justin, again, didn't pounce. It was a very strategic breakdown, a surgical breakdown of a man. And it was, bro, like I hunted when I was younger. I've seen animals in their last breaths. I've witnessed death before, and Tony Ferguson looked like a shell of a man as the fight was coming to an end. Like that last jab that Justin got him with, you see Tony like shake his head, and it's almost like he wasn't even there. And it was actually kind of sad.
He's probably trying to figure out what the hell is happening.
It was just like a very slow
dismantling.
Yeah.
When's your cage debut?
After all that, who knows, man. I have to do one before I die. We'll see. But I just want to say, like, man, that was a phenomenal event. So great job to the UFC and congrats to everyone who won. And Tony Ferguson, man, pick your head up. You know you're a champ. I mean, I don't even need to say this to you, but you tough as nails. That it just wasn't your night. And on to the next one. And he was on a 12 fight win streak, so I know this is not a easy loss for him. Mm-hmm. Swallow it, pick your head up, keep working hard, move to the next. Except I'm worried though, because like, bro, I'm telling you, he broke his orbital, fractured orbital. Who knows what kind of brain damage he suffered? It was just like,
I see that with like fighters, especially, but skateboarders and extreme sport athletes that break their arms and legs. How do you decide that you're going to like break both your femurs in a crazy motocross accident and then get back on the bike? How do you break your face open and then get back in the cage?
I have no idea. I have no idea, because, and maybe you can attest to this, but I've gotten fucked up riding, you know, dirt bike, BMX bike, football, whatever it is. Yeah. And I admit, I find it hard to get back in there with the now PTSD I have from getting hurt doing the thing. Like when you
fell, you do it though. It's a classic get back on the horse situation in life. You know, like the first biggest thing you do after a fall like that, or after getting, you know, breaking your femur skiing, the first important thing that you do is you stand up. So I've been through so many of those situations where you're on the ground, lifeless, and you always, the first thing you try to do is stand up. Can I stand up? Can I still control this body that I exist within? Yeah. If you have a broken femur, you can't do it. But I tried. And so it was just this. And then it just fell back down. But if you break your wrist, you could usually stand up. So you stand up, brush yourself the fuck off. And then the next question should be, how do I get back in the game? And so when I broke my femur, they put a rod in it. And I think it was probably about a year and a month later when I put my ski boots back on and went back down the same mountain at Killington.
Yeah, because you still love the thing, right?
Admit you don't go as hard anymore. I know you don't.
No, I still do. I still do. I think
you will favor
certain things. So, for example, if you break your femur skiing and going off a ski jump, you may ski now, but you might hit different jumps, or you might not hit jumps at all.
Don't go for the 40 footer. And so, yeah,
for sure, you definitely change a little bit. It affects you.
But exactly, that's what I'm saying. So you move a little more cautious now. But these extreme sports athletes do not.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You have to go even harder than before because the game keeps elevating.
That's a sickness to me, dude.
But also, I'll tell you why.
Or is it passion?
For them, it's that, but it's also, that's their job. That's their livelihood.
Yeah.
And so, like, for example, with Logan, when he had his YouTube edition femoral break, mm-hmm. which we all remember, he had the option to come back and dilly-dally and do half-ass mediocre work, but he knew he couldn't do that. He had to come back and fucking produce, bro.
It's just, the physical pain's different, dude. Like, so yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens with these boys, but yeah. All right, so there's a lot. I kind of dove into that first because I knew I was probably just going to be like talking. All right, where do we even start here? All right, so, Mike released a book, The Fifth Vital Sign. Master your cycles and optimize your fertility. This was last week.
I actually, that's not the right
book. Dude, 132 ratings.
What'd you say?
Stars. Yeah, that's Lisa Hendrickson and Jack.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. So Mike released a book. Oh, my bad. Called The Fifth. Oh, here it is. The Fifth Vital.
Hey, you can buy it now with one click.
420 ratings, Mike.
How's it going so far? You rich yet? You can finally.
Nah. No, I'm not. I'm not, dude. And I don't think I'm going to be as a result of a book. The literary world is weird, dude. It's there's a lot of... I could talk about this specific topic for so long. I'm not going to today. But if I had published this book with a traditional publisher, which is what the majority of like the big dogs do, they retain roughly 8 to 15% of the royalties that come on the back. And it's very similar to music. Mm-hmm. You get nothing. You get the label eats everything. You get a payout on the front end that you usually pay royalties back against. So if I had done that, I would get 8 to 15% of the royalties. Luckily, I was smart and I self-published, but there's still quite a few people with their hands in the pot. Mm. And so am I going to buy a yacht as a result of the book? No. But has it been selling like fucking hotcakes? Yes.
Good. I mean, you haven't even done your tour yet. You still got to go to Oprah. Shit. You still got to go to like middle schools all over the world.
But it's touched a lot of people. The feedback on it has been incredible. It's obviously got 5 stars on every platform that it's sold on. And that was the biggest thing to me. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of people who
we're just watching the sales of it. Yeah. Is it going to make New York Times? Is it going to hit Amazon top 10, which it did, and it's been living in the top 25 since it came out, which has been incredible. But for me, the biggest win on it has been people saying, yo, I opened this book at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. or 1 a.m. or whatever, and I read it cover to cover, and I didn't close it. I read it straight through because I couldn't put it down. That's the best feedback I've gotten so far. And it made me think about life a little bit differently as a result.
That's
and
cool.
Made me a little bit just happier to be here.
I envy those people's patience and tenacity to read the book and also their ability to read.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't read. That's why I haven't read Mike's book. I mean, I said it in my Instagram caption. I'm sure it's great.
When's the audiobook coming, Mike?
And are you reading the audiobook?
I am, yeah.
Shut the fuck
up.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation there too, because it's another format. A lot of people don't want to read or can't read like you, and you know, they want to hear it. But every request I've seen has been, yo, get that raspy voiced fuck in the lab and have them read it. Yeah. And so it looks like we're going to be starting the process.
Well, how long does it take?
It's going to take us a little while.
How long? How many hours? If you read
20,
the book?
20. It'll take us 20 hours to do the activity. That the listening of the book will probably be like 5 hours, maybe.
Do you get to take a peanut butter jelly break in between?
Oh, yeah. We're going to shoot it over the course of the next, like 2 weeks?
Probably 2 weeks or so.
It's going to take a little while for it to get out there.
Right in house. It'll be fun. We'll sit down. We'll have some tea. Get the vibes going.
But go buy your paper books, you know, kids. Like, it's not paperbacks, kids. It's not out just yet.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
It's what I didn't say to you last night at the fire pit.
Fuck you.
What?
Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Oh.
I like you.
Oh, hey, what's up? What's up?
All right. So this is kind of deep. It's kind of like a macro thought. Okay. I have a fear of growing old and saying the following sentence. Those were the good old days. I try so hard in my life to gauge the moments that are the good old days. Mm-hmm. These are the moments. These right here are the moments. And whenever I notice that my life is going exceptionally well, and I notice that I am fulfilled and happy to the brim, mm-hmm. a place that I am sometimes in my life, I really try to mark them as like life moments. Mm-hmm. So I really can feel and live in this moment. So when I'm older, I don't have to say, man, those were the days, or those were the days. I am so happy right now. I am incredibly happy in my life. I am driven, I'm fulfilled, and most importantly, the people around me are doing well. Like, seeing your success, bro, I've said this before, it just gives me like it fills an empty cup in my world that for so long has been empty, and finally, like, I'm people are making the right steps outside of just me to really complete this team, this organization, and it's awesome.
That would have been great for a fireside thing.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah, I wish you had said that to me next to the fireplace. I probably would have started crying. But I've been doing so much of that lately, and I'm sick of it, to be
honest.
You're
crying?
Well, I have been crying more outside of the talking about the book and about smoking crack and all that fun shit. I've been crying. I started crying with Amara the other night. She was asking me questions about, you know, the way I love and why sometimes I am not as affectionate as other people and this and that. And it brought up a lot more pain that I wasn't thinking about. This has been a draining week for me.
Yeah,
as
for
you
sure.
know, the
for
reason
sure.
why I was late to this podcast, because I was on a business call where there's massive, implications across the board. And I've done podcast after podcast, and I've done all this promotion and all this different stuff. And it's been draining. It's like, even though I wrote the book for so long, spending the last week as inundated and saturated and diving so deeply into the story so many times over the past week, and also talking to fans about it, mm-hmm. because there's just been such a outpouring of support and thoughts on the book. It's been draining, and I feel drained. Like, I feel very tired and very very happy, very fulfilled that it's out, and just so relieved that the story's finally out there and starting to help people, and it's off of my back. But I also feel so fucking tired, bro, from just the past week.
Take a nap.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
All right, wait. My thought wasn't done yet.
Sorry. You took a pause that was long enough that I felt
it was
okay.
Good.
Okay.
It was good. No, it was good.
All right. I just don't want to interrupt you.
But, all right. Sometimes I'll be showering, thinking about how happy I am, bro. I have a girl that I really care about. My boys around me are doing well. My career is doing well. Against all odds, like, we fucking did it. We finally made it out of the shitstorm. We're in a really great place, but I cannot help but feel this overwhelming sense of impending doom.
All right, why?
Oh, shit.
And I hate that I'm even putting this energy out there, but I'd be lying to myself if I say I didn't feel it. And I think it's because the last time in my life where I was doing well, I fucked myself.
Yeah, you're a self-sabotage master.
Yes. Yes, and it's almost like I say this all the time, like, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and I'm getting this, like, weird feeling in my chest, this weird feeling of anxiety that, like, I don't know, it's, like, how can things be this good? How is it possible?
I think it's bad
that I'm saying?
I'm looking for something.
Why when the world is in an absolute shit storm are we thriving? Can we both do this together?
Yo, page 225. Work was going well, my relationship, my family stronger than ever, but I always have this anxious feeling in the pit of my stomach. And there's a scene in the shower where I talk about this. After years of hell, I'd become conditioned to thinking the other shoe would drop. When was the rug going to be pulled out from under me? I often struggled with that feeling. For many years, I'd become accustomed to things going so badly wrong. I'd gotten used to such terrible pain that it was hard for my brain to ever imagine things going right for very long.
That's what I'm feeling. And it was crazy.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And it happens always when you're naked in the shower. And I don't know why you have clothes on in the shower. Yeah. So usually when you're in the shower, you are naked. All right,
so you're conditioned to this. Or you have something in your past that you haven't brought up and addressed that you feel like might come back to get you.
Nah, I've never been the dude who's got like a tape of like Logan Paul racism or Logan Paul. There's nothing. It's not that. It's just like, I don't know, dude.
Why? Let's flesh it out. Let's figure out what the point of why you think you're gonna reach doom soon. If you're looking for doom, you're gonna find it, right?
I'm not looking for doom. Man, it was sunny yesterday. We were all sitting by the fire. We were at the beach, fucking smoking a little bit, having a good time, eating pizza, whatever. And I'm like, life is being so good to me right
too
now.
Too good to
why?
Me.
It's like a trick. I know it's something. It's a trick, bro. I'm being fucking bamboozled.
Is this like with you not being able to receive things? Like, things are okay to be good. It's good to be good.
Yeah, but you're for how long can they be good? Until
as long as you want, as long as you keep staying on the right path, doing the right thing, you're going to be all right.
Why did I not know that me and you shared this? This is a big
because
thing.
I hate it because I hate even putting that energy out there.
So being someone a little bit different that approaches things a little bit differently, I don't like to look at the issue as much as I like to look at the solution. So I don't really care why it feels like that, but I do have it. The next two paragraphs were this. Anytime I felt like this, I calmed myself again by finding solace in my continued strength. I told myself if I can control the outcome of a situation, then I trust myself to make the right decision and for the outcome to reflect that. Do you feel strong in that no matter what happens to you, you'll make the right decision?
Now I do, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
On the flip side, and this is the biggest one, I realized that if I cannot control the outcome of the situation, I'd think, fuck it. For years, I used to worry about such things as genetic disease and atomic war. Now, unless I was able to do something better to positively affect an outcome, I don't give a shit. I believe that what was out of my control should also be out of my mind. So if what happens to you, you can control, you're going to do the best possible fucking job to control it. And the results are going to prove that you did that. You've done it time and time again. No matter what happens, you handle it. If you can't control it, then fuck it.
But it's the unknown. Don't worry about that shit. Are you sure? Because there's a lot of anxiety that people have not knowing.
not knowing, and I'm starting to feel a little bit of it, bro. Even, and I hate to like bring this up in this context, but even Corey,
we didn't even talk about this yet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, bro, what the fuck?
Did you? We didn't address it at all in the beginning of the show.
No. Do you know about this? The tattoo artist Daniel Silva, who, ironically enough, actually tattooed
Evan,
mm-hmm. who's right there. He just walked in. Can you pull up the sleeve? Pull up your sleeve real quick. See that light bulb tattoo? And then also tattooed Spencer. Do you know about this?
Yeah, he knows. We've been talking.
Okay. And also tattooed Spencer live on the 100th episode of Impulsive.
And was going to tattoo me this week, reached out, saw that we were talking about me getting the tattoo of redemption on my arm,
yeah.
and DM'd me and said, hey, I'd love to do that tattoo for you.
Yeah.
I had a problem with drugs myself and addiction, and I was in jail, and it would mean a lot to me if I was able to give you the redemption tattoo.
Him and a YouTuber by the name of Corey Labari,
yeah.
were in a car late last night celebrating Corey's 25th birthday. And this dude, Daniel Silva, the tattoo master, or the ink master, was drunk and crashed the McLaren that they were driving into a tree. And the passenger side hit the tree and took the brunt of the damage. And unfortunately, the YouTuber, Corey, passed away late last night on his birthday.
And a Mother's Day. And I saw the post from his mother, which was horrifying and sad as can be.
And now it looks like once Daniel's released from the hospital, because apparently he broke his hip, he's going to be charged for murder.
Yeah, or manslaughter, or whatever it ends up being.
And it's like, you wake up to hear this, and just like, I think about the Kobe thing. And how just like sudden these really unfortunate chain of events happened. Just these just dire shit scenarios. And it happened to me, and in a much lighter way. But life has slapped me in the face a couple times. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared of that happening again.
Okay. It's incredibly unfortunate that these two guys have gone through this. RIP to Corey, man. That sucks. But could have been avoided by not drinking and driving. We definitely know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta be on the forefront of that. Avoid any sort of possibility that that's going to happen again. That's one way to avoid that for you personally, Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Second thing, there's a fallacy in mind that life has its pendulum. It's ups and downs and ups and downs. You don't have to let the ball swing the other way. There's a book called The Kabbalion that goes deep into this philosophy where you can control the swing of your pendulum. If you don't want it to go down the negative side, you can stop it right there, and you can kind of go and find a new route that's going to keep you in a positive, light mood, always recognizing the good things that are happening in your life and going more in the direction of better things.
So it doesn't stop. So it's not the action of bad things happening. It's just your reaction to it. Because obviously you can't stop the cancer pendulum from coming. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just how you react to it.
Yeah. And, you know, taking preventative measures. Don't get in the car, drink, and drive. Like, that's one simple thing. But there's other ways to manifest negative things happening in your life. And right now you're doing a lot of great things. Your YouTube channel is going crazy because you have focused on your art, making it the best it can be. And change it up to format for the new wave of the style that's taking over YouTube. People are loving that. You're providing positive energy for millions of people through this podcast, through the YouTube channel, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, whatever it might be. All those things are great. I question to where you feel like the doom might be coming. Why do you feel like you deserve
how often,
to?
Because
last time my life was going this well, some bad shit happened and I was in a bad point in my life,
yeah.
that was like, I call it the perfect storm for everything to go wrong.
Yeah, but you had massive ego problems and yeah. didn't care, and you were blazing a fire trail right behind you.
I know,
of course, it's gonna catch up.
I know, but like this is the type of like thoughts that make me uncomfortable when I feel turbulence on an airplane, or like when things are fully out of my control, and no matter how level headed I am or how much I've learned, like
That's not a feeling that is foreign to anyone. Everybody feels like that. Everybody feels like, yo, what's going to happen next? No one, no matter how strong a person is, no one's completely in control of their emotions towards the unknown. The unknown is scary. It is. Of course it is. You wish you knew how much longer you had to speak to your loved ones. You wish you knew how much longer you had to be a disease-free human on this planet.
If you could know the day that you died, would you?
No. No, I don't want to know that. Because here's what you should do. Assume that the day you die is tomorrow, always, and live every single day that way. Assume tomorrow's your last day, and every day of output, whether it's from work, whether it's from how you love, whether it's from how you act towards other people, assume that tomorrow is the last day. Today's the last day that you have, and act accordingly. You know, it's a shame. It really is. And I think Mac's point of, you know, making smarter calculations, you, in a lot of ways, your decision making in 2017 was akin to drunk driving. You were drunk driving yourself all over the place, making poor decisions. And so I think, you know, listen, two lives were destroyed yesterday. One forever, and the other one, listen, like, I don't wanna, this isn't no defense of Daniel Silva, but I've been in both of those seats hundreds of times. And it is completely inexcusable. It's completely shameful, but I do have to feel slightly bad for Daniel Silva as well. And of course, you know, rest in peace to Corey. It's a tragedy. Absolutely horrible to go at that age. And I'm sure everybody feels terrible about it and it's horrible. But at the same time, like, I've already started to see this just outpouring of fucking hate towards Daniel Silva. They were both drunk. In a second, it could have gone the other way and Corey would have been driving. If Daniel said, you take the keys, Corey would have, like, to go back and look at the situation and make a judgment about the person, like, did he act stupidly? Yes. And, you know, he's going to pay the price for that. He's going to spend time in jail and he's going to live the rest of his life knowing that his decision-making led to the death of a young man. And that's a tragedy. And so it's shit across the board. Absolute shit across the board. Do not drive drunk. Not in the days of fucking Uber. When I was getting fucked up and I wanted to go 4 miles to Wendy's and I couldn't, like, there was no cabs and shit. Still no excuse, but you got fucking Uber. Just push a button, dude. They pull right up to you and drive you home. It's not rocket science.
The fast life's fun. That McLaren probably looks like a real rocket ship.
No, but he's right. It's attractive. Of course it is.
And it's attractive lifestyle when you're young and having fun to go and do everything crazy that you possibly can. But it's the intention was let's have fun, but the circumstances were it wasn't safe.
There are some things that are so easy to not do.
Yeah.
Drunk driving is one of them. That goes without saying. Yeah. I used to ride motorcycles. Same with Jake. We do not anymore because it is so easy to not do it and guarantee a longer life because you're not riding a motorcycle. Even skydiving now, dude. Like I had that slip up with my main chute not opening and I'm like, yo, that's how much fun am I really having skydiving? Full transparency. Like personally, I was over it after the fourth jump. I was like, this is cool. I get it. You fall, you do some flips. Like we're good.
Yeah.
I'm not having that much fun where I'm really willing to risk my life again and also drive an hour and a half to Paris and an hour and a half back. It's just a hassle. but it's so easy to minimize risk. It's a conversation we've been sort of having around the house. Just even with your loved ones, your girl. We talked about it yesterday. Minimize risk.
Oh,
you
like, know, liking
you,
pictures.
You know your girl doesn't like you liking a picture. Minimize risk. How easy is it to not double tap? Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't like that picture. Don't comment. Don't whatever it is. Like I don't respond. I now that I'm, you know, I got a wife. I'm really modest. I'm good at keeping any advancing women at an arm's length.
Keeping your digital dick in your pants.
Exactly. I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it anymore. I don't want to flirt with you. Yeah. If you send me a flirty message, I'm not responding. Just like transactional, bro.
So you're minimizing physical risks as opposed to
both. Just minimize risk in your life. Calculate. Is it worth it?
It's my favorite thing. Calculated risk.
You're taking risk by, I mean, risk or not, you're launching a clothing line again. You're, you know, taking chances, putting up videos on the, like, you're taking risk. What works on the vlog? What doesn't work on the vlog?
Calculated risks.
Well, those are banned. Those are business risks. I mean, it's different. It's, totally it's just different. it's just people on this planet will forever be obsessed with getting thrills. And as Max said, you know, that McLaren gets real attractive after 10 shots. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen it's like we could say what we want. Obviously, there's this right decision, the smart decision. And then there's the way people sometimes, unfortunately, think. And every person looks at thrills differently. Yeah. Some people need a 14 person orgy to get off.
Facts.
Because no, they've done right. everything else. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And some people fall victim to the needle and that's their thrill, you know? And so unfortunately, like, sometimes, you know, people fall into thrills that have really dire consequences. And this was one of those situations and it absolutely fucking sucks. Cause I truly believe that both of those were good kids.
Speaking of repercussions that any given human will have for the rest of their life. Should we talk about 6ix9ine? Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Oh my God.
He's back. He's back in a big way. Came out with the song. Great title. Means a lot.
What Gooba. Is it? Booga?
Gooba.
Oh, Gooba.
Gooba. That's right. He called this song Gooba.
What's that? It's like a tuba, but with a G, yeah?
That's right. Breaks YouTube record for biggest 24-hour debut in hip-hop. Wow. Wow. So it's the most watched hip-hop video. It beat Eminem's Kill Shot. Let's see. 43 million views were registered on the first day, and Eminem's was 38 million. And right now, 72 hours later, it's at plus 100 million. This is crazy.
What? This is crazy.
This is crazy. So 6ix9ine came back just as pretentious, obnoxious, and colorful as he's always been, which, full transparency, I was a little disappointed. I thought he would have owned his past maybe a little more and come out with a song that actually has like some sort of creative twang that makes people...
Well, that's because you're mad. Stay mad. Big mad. You mad. He mad. They mad. Big mad. Stay mad.
You know the lyrics already.
I mean, just those three things. That someone's fucking mad. Okay?
Someone's
and
angry.
I have to ask you this question.
No.
Did you really think that he was going to come back different?
I don't know.
Did you really think that? That like, motherfucker? That dude?
I don't know.
At that fucking face, bro. Look at that man.
Logan, you said it nice the other day. He is the face of clout.
He is 100%.
There's a lyric in this song. He says, "Bitch, I am clout."
Yeah,
he really is.
He is an anomaly. The man is an anomaly. He is wrapped in a rainbow colored parachute with green hair. This is what happens when your culture goes unfucking checked. This is the result. Can you imagine telling Jay-Z and Nas and Biggie that this was fucking rap? This sickens me. Fuck. And you call me old, call me OG, call me fucking a boomer or a gooba or whatever the fuck you want to call me, but this is dumb shit. I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry. But is it great marketing? Is he fucking like, yes. Yes. He crushed it.
He's a sensation.
He is.
But that shit sucks, bro. That is not music.
His address, his house that he was posted up, taking these pics with Cash on his back deck.
Is he doing a high-key headphones giveaway? What is this picture, bro?
His ad got leaked, and he had to move houses, and he's on house arrest, I believe. So I asked Mike, I said, Mike, is that his life? Can he go out to clubs?
Nah.
Can he do any performances?
Nah.
Can he go anywhere ever?
Nah.
Ever.
Nah, not right now. Nah, I don't know how long it's going to last, but from the looks of it, when you throw your middle fingers up to the Bloods, the entire organization, and snitch them out and shit, and I've rolled back a little bit on how I feel about his situation. They did some fucked up shit to him, and he wasn't a real dude. Like, he wasn't really about that, and he's admitted he wasn't about it. He got tangled up and made some mistakes. So I've rolled back, and I almost can understand his situation a little bit, but my guess is that he is relocating, hiding, running for the rest of his days on this planet. He will have number one records on YouTube. He will crush it. He'll make a ton of money. But the risk for him is massive. My guess is he's looking over his shoulder for the rest of his days on this fucking planet. Nima, thought?
I mean, he's protected by the biggest mafia.
The U.S. government. He's protected. Nima, one of our music guys, says he's protected by the biggest mafia in the world, which is the U.S. government. And rightfully so, maybe.
Could you imagine being the security guard that's in charge of watching over him?
Terrifying. terrifying. Like at what point is, the money that 6ix9ine is paying you to protect his life not worth your life? Does that make sense? He's also guaranteed got like probably 10 security guards around him. We saw him 2 weeks before all the shit went down.
Before he got popped. And, he had military security guards.
Dancing in the corner of Hyde by himself. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, can he do that anymore? I don't think he... you could have 19.2 million followers. You could have 25% engagement. You could have cash. You could have a Finding Nemo necklace. You could have a Finding Nemo necklace of Gary the... Bruce the Shark. But...
It's on his shirt.
Is this much of a life?
No.
You know?
I mean, that's like...
Bro, a little 12-year-old white chick almost ruined his whole world the other day. She said, 6ix9ine is in my backyard taking pictures. And before you knew it, he's packing his house up and moving to the next place. It's going to be tough. And I don't hate the man. I hope he fucking wins. I always pray for everybody. I hope he does a great job. I hate his fucking music. I'm sorry. It's fucking awful. I can't wait till Meek Mill comes out with that fucking diss tape and fucking dismantles his ass. But that said, I hope the best for him. I wish the best for him. I hope he's able to find a nice cave to fucking live in and count his money and watch his views forever.
Final note. I'm here for the show. I've said it so many times. I just want to be entertained, bro. Yeah. So please keep it coming, 6ix9ine. Please.
It is entertaining. It's very, very entertaining. Very. It really is.
He could probably hide better without the face tats, too.
It's difficult for him to pretend like he's not him.
2 million viewers on
the live stream.
Nobody's going to touch that shit, dude.
Nah, that's crazy.
We got it. We could do
something. Yeah, think it's going to be us that does it? Yeah, sure thing.
we had Team Maverick had a big week as well last week. Had our photo shoot for the new clothing, Maverick Clothing, which is launching May 22nd. I'm super stoked for that because obviously you guys know the word Maverick means so much to me in this organization. And Nima, I don't know if you're going to approve of this, but I wanted to show just a couple selects that Mac took. So Mac took all these pictures, but
true. I'm a model too.
You did model as well. Yeah.
Start signing me, agencies. I'm looking. Call me. Talk to my manager. He goes by Jeff Levin, manager Jeff on Instagram.
Oh, you're managed by Jeff too?
For this specific thing. Or talk to Nima.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So this is where this no longer becomes an influencer brand. We hired legit ass models, a legit ass film crew, made a legit ass commercial, and some of these photos came out absolutely stunning. And we're gonna have a VIP club as well, which we're gonna get into the details of that.
Damn,
but
bro!
Shout out Trey and Katya.
Yeah. The models were fantastic. We had a great time at the ranch. Everyone killed it, and just excited to launch this on May 22nd. This is the next big endeavor, and gonna look forward to sponsoring athletes, you know, influencers, actors, celebrities, whatever it is. But stuff's legit, man, and yeesh, I can't wait to drop it. Fashion forward, no longer merch, which is awesome. Yeah. Yep.
Did you see NCAA is going to start allowing college players to get paid?
Yeah, I saw that.
You might want to start looking into
sponsorships.
It would have been much easier if we did it before they got paid. Yeah. Saved us some money. But sure, I'm not sure. But,
I mean, they're getting paid under the table anyway.
Yeah, a lot of that shit's going on. I do want to say this clothing is insane. It is so fucking. Like, listen, this is coming from someone else who, like, fuck. I'm trying. I love doing the clothing. This shit is like insane, bro. Hey. Like it feels like the most top-notch shit you've ever felt.
That's going to be our secret. So Literally. Andre, pop into this real quick. So beyond just looking cool, it feels cool. So this is Ray's print. And this is like one of many things. Like I know it might sound ridiculous, like talking about Ray's print, but I wore this t-shirt because I knew it had Ray's print because I like the way it feels and I like the way it looks. Like, we are really innovating when it comes to how this feels. Wear this crew neck. You'll never wear another crew neck in your life. Just the feel and the high quality garment that is making you look good with a meaning and a message behind it that resonates with you. It's going to be one of the most powerful things we've done as an organization.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool. Also got another, bro, two rattlesnakes. We had to cut it from the vlog. That's why if you listen to Impulsive, we're going to let you in a little bit. Fucking two rattlesnakes we had to kill this weekend at the ranch.
Scumbags. One of them was, because I'm pro-life on animals across the board. But you come in, you try to eat my boy Broly, your ass gotta go.
Your ass is grass.
You ain't gonna come eat my boy, dude. I walked outside, it was dead silence. There was nothing going on at the ranch. I heard a couple horses neighing way miles away.
How?
There was a small plane humming in the background. Yeah, yeah. The trees were just, it's dead silent at the ranch. But then I heard, and I said, that's a motherfucking rattlesnake.
You know, even if you've never heard it, in your life, you can identify a rattlesnake. Sure. Yo, these animals are so mean. And especially after I heard what they did to Mike Posner when he's just trying to walk across the country.
Nice fucking guy. And that's what I thought of in the split second because I looked over and I found where the sound was coming from. And I looked over and there's good old happy-go-lucky clown face Broly. Tongue sticking out to just like, this is my new friend, Mike. This is my new friend. I made friends with a rattlesnake, and I'm going to be best friend. No, you're not, bro. He's going to kill you.
God. Bro, look what the rattlesnake did to Mike Posner. It turned him into a rattlesnake. Oh, wait, no.
That's a little dicky.
It put him into the hospital.
Wow. But he kept going, man.
He had to relearn how to walk. Don't come around my people and my animals. Don't fuck with my animals. So, yeah, we decapitated this rattlesnake. It was quick. It was clean. It was the cleanest death it could have ever endured. And the head snaps. For about a minute after, still spewing venom. It's insane. Like, these are mean motherfuckers.
Fight to the death, man. And past the death.
Yeah. It was, so that was, you know.
Broly looked at me and he was like, I had that covered, man. Like, yeah. I was just about to fucking kill him. Yeah,
sure. I made a mention yesterday on my live stream on Instagram that Broly and I don't have the best relationship.
I don't like that.
That's sad.
That upsets me. I'd like to kind of address this publicly.
Okay.
Broly and I have a relationship. We have a history. We're supposed to be good friends. But he's a punk. And to be honest, he pees and poops over in my little corner of the house a lot. A lot, a lot. And it's gotten to the point where I just can't take it anymore.
So let me get this straight. This is the dog you have beef with, just to clarify.
I like him. I do
it's
like
gotta
him.
Gotta hurt, dude.
But I have not been able to cross the hurdle from like to love just yet. He is still too much of a punk. I want to give him the attention and affection he deserves because he's a good boy. He comes home. He explores.
Have you ever asked him who's a good boy? Because he knows. Because he knows who's a good boy.
I probably have. We have a past, man. We're close. We're tight. But
you see that face right there?
Yeah, you know who took that picture?
It was you?
It was me.
You see that face? That dog could shit in my mouth while I'm sleeping. And I would wake up and I would spit it out and I would say, I love you. Look at you. That dog is perfect, flawless in every way, shape, and form. He is an angel sent down from the heavens above to make our days enjoyable.
Yeah, but do you like when he poops in your room, Mike?
As I said moments ago, he could shit in my mouth. Here's what I do when I find shit in my room of his. I get a paper towel, I clean it up, and I look at it. I pulled it in my hand, and I say, this is just a care package of love from a sweet angel. And I even sometimes I'll go, smells like love before I flush it, just to remind myself how great he is.
Here's how I know that's not true. Broly's poop smells so bad that if you even inhaled it, you'd be dead. So
it's
I know
the
you're
worst
lying.
Shit ever.
His hygiene in general is horrid. It's horrid.
Yeah, he's a dirty dog. Dirty. I like that about him. You know, he doesn't care, renegade style. But I'm working on it. We're going to therapy sessions. We go in the backyard. I throw the ball to him sometimes.
Him and Sir have really been getting me through this quarantine. Like pets in general, oftentimes I don't know if we deserve pets. And moreover, leading into the next thing, I think they know that. Especially Sir. I swear to God. Sometimes I'll look at my little pigeon, and he's looking at me like, I know what you're doing to me. You keep me in a cage. I'm a wild animal. You keep me in a cage all day as a subservient creature to you and your friends. And I am smarter than you. And I see him. I feel him looking through my soul. This is an African gray we're talking about. One of the most intelligent birds on the planet. Intellect of a 5-year-old. I feel like it might be an intellect of a 15-year-old or something. Because he's plotting, dude. He knows how to get out of his cage. He knows how to open it. And I'm getting very scary thoughts about him being smarter than me and realizing what we're doing to their kind. There's a Rick and Morty episode about this.
Oh, that show is, you know how the pets have been getting you through? That show is incredible.
It's great. Have you seen this episode where they strap like a helmet on a dog that like makes the dog smarter? And eventually it's like running the world.
Oh, so Neuralink.
Oh, God.
We got it. We got it.
Here we are.
I love Rick and Morty. Holy shit.
Strong show. But yeah, Elon Musk is saying that in 5 years, language will be unnecessary.
Okay, hold on.
Because of his technology, Neuralink.
About 5 to 10 years, they're going to be really putting him in people and jazzing it up, sparking up the power.
Putting what in people, Mac?
This is little chip, and they drill out a hole in the back of your head, Jesus. And they use a robot.
This is the most Black Mirror shit I've ever heard.
To connect the wires to your neurons.
This is fucked up.
And they're going to start with brain injury patients, and they're going to try to rehabilitate them to 100%. Eventually, they'll evolve and evolve and evolve to the point where we'll be communicating without speaking. There will be no need for language. We'll just be connected at the brain. There will be no translation of thought to word, because that means that my thought has to be condensed so that you can digest my thought, and there's information lost in the
I cannot the wait to see this backfire. I can't. I'm so sorry, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
As Donald Trump sits across from fucking Kim Jong-un, who's still alive, and Donald Trump thinks, I would really like to beat the fuck, like, bro, are you me as I'm scrolling my Instagram and my girl's across the way Neuralink to me and I see a hot chick pass by and she just hears, I'd love to bury my dick in that fucking are you fucking kidding
I don't
me,
think you
bro?
Can read your mind.
Oh yeah,
that's what Max said.
Come on,
and by
guys.
The way,
there's
and by the way, let me,
there's gotta
let
be
me,
a ping and a pong, but you know,
I have to say this, my mind obviously would never think that was a fabricated situation. If I scroll past a chick on Instagram, my first thought is neutral feelings of nothingness. That is the only thing I feel when I see a girl on Instagram now. Neutral. It's like a yellow light between red and green. It doesn't change. It's always yellow. It's like have no feeling.
Yep.
Just so
complete indifference.
Just so certain people who see this episode know what I'm saying right now.
She follows you everywhere. I caught her again sitting on the couch this morning and said, hey, Mar, what are you doing? She goes, waiting for Mac to finish poopies. Oh, God. And also, why do you poop in the bathroom next to the front door?
I went to the back one and there was Mac, but Mexican in the back room.
A Mexican Mac?
Was that you speaking to me in a Mexican accent? Or was that you? That was you?
No.
It's a classic case.
Who was in the bathroom?
I don't know. Anyways, I had to move to the...
We got a Mexican
ghost. I had to move to
the
front door
okay. And
poop there.
He's a cowboy. But yeah, so Elon Musk, I mean, what's good? I want to volunteer as a test trial.
You'd be good.
I also want him to send me to Mars. I don't know if this helps. Like, I've suffered severe brain injury. I have a skull fracture, 7 millimeters dent in my head, and a metal plate the size of a quarter. It's titanium. It's sitting right here. Every girl that I've ever dated in the past to impress them, I'm like, do you want to feel the screws? And I take their finger and they go, ew, every time.
Have you ever heard my theory that actually like made you smarter? That brain injury?
Love to hear this.
All right. Hear me out. So what I think might have happened during Logan Paul's adolescent years when he absolutely bashed his face into a trampoline. So he fractured his skull. And then all of a sudden, like, this hematoma formed in his face, mostly in his frontal lobe.
Do you remember coming over to my house and I was just, like, looking like an ogre?
Dude, I was on my trampoline, get off my trampoline, walk inside, get a phone call from Pam crying, Logan broke his face. I saw the helicopter fly over.
You did?
But yeah. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, I got lifelighted out that bitch.
But yeah, man, I'm wondering if the massive... increase of blood flow to your prefrontal cortex and the surrounding areas somehow helped your brain grow in a different way that made you somehow able to handle information better or do something better than other people.
What if it made me dumber? Can you imagine?
I mean, dude, you were a dumbass before this.
I was 12, Mac. I was 13 years old.
Dude, my dad did not like you at all.
Bro, me and your dad have... I mean, when I was younger, we would go back and forth. He would tell me how not funny I was.
Yeah.
Did
your dad and GP get along?
GP didn't get along with anyone.
It'd be very hard to not get along with my dad.
Bro, I've actually never showed these.
Wow.
You have a spotlight in the middle of your brain.
This is my skull. That is...
a 7 millimeter, almost a centimeter. Or sorry, yeah, almost a centimeter skull fracture. Like my brain almost got fucked.
You caved your skull own skull in. Who's that dog?
That's
Doji.
Doji, rest in peace.
He's an awesome man.
That's our dog, Doji. Doji spells dog, so we named him Doji. But I was fucked up.
Did you make the DOG name decision prior or after the skull fracture?
That was Greg's.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Zoom in. I don't know if you could see this. Can you still see the
it's up
running down the side of my head, a scar running from the top of my head to below my ear where they got the plate in.
Did they open you up?
Oh yeah. And check this out. I think I've told this story before. This exact occurrence is the reason why I don't like girls going near my butt.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. This is the whole trampoline accident with your head.
This is it. Yo.
Anybody got a thesaurus?
If you got a girlfriend, you know sometimes like rogue fingers will end up near your rectum. I don't like it. Here's why. When this happened, I'm unconscious laying on the whatever I'm laying on, the bed that with wheels in the hospital. On the cusp of death. Like I don't even know if I'm going to live. What's going on? I'm barely breathing. And all of a sudden I feel this bolt of pain in my sphincter. And I jump across the bed. I'm like, what the fuck was that? My mom's like, it's a sign. The doctor had to check your prostate to make sure you weren't infected. I'm like, yeah, but he just put his finger on my butt. So in many ways, I have PTSD from a very traumatic experience of a doctor fingering my butt to check if I had some sort of infection. But that doesn't even make sense because I hit my head. This was a ploy to finger my butthole.
Is that a picture of that action happening second from the left at the top there?
This one?
Yeah. Is that the doctor reached?
Yes. Yeah. This is my old Facebook. this is a dark place. I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, man. That sucks. But Mac, Mac could be right. You could have been, dude, I believe him. I bet you a lot of traumas, whether they're physical, emotional, mental, not I bet you, those kind of things do have a dramatic effect on your brain. And I spoke about it a little bit earlier today in the show when I was talking about like my own inability. I've talked to you about this before, like my own inability to like feel like happiness and love. Like it's something I continue to deal with. I'm slightly numbed because of the decisions that I made in my past. And a strange conversation that I'd love to hear you weigh in on a little bit, but Amara told me, because I was talking to her about it, and she told me, and I know this is like a classically believed thought, but a lot of the reason why I have trouble feeling happiness and love is because I've told myself that I have trouble feeling happiness and love.
Just program yourself to think
that. Yeah. And so when I got off drugs, I understand why I had those feelings, but I think I was supposed to tackle it.
Sure.
And start thinking about, I'm happy now. I feel love. I feel love towards my friends and my family that do great things for me and vice versa. But I think I've gotten so conditioned to the fact that I'm numb that I need to start telling myself something else. And so in the next like few months, I want to try to start getting into like that cognitive behavioral therapy and program myself to think the other way. Well, so maybe that's something you could do too.
You could just use Neuralink. Probably be a lot easier. Think about that. You don't even have to go to one therapy session. Your brain is just reprogrammed because you did it on a computer.
We got some time before
and
that.
All I have to do is buy a Tesla? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it comes with the package. But that's like the P100D. You got, all that stuff.
Completely derail this, but Elon Musk, I just saw a tweet before this podcast started that said against the county rules that the Tesla factory is in, he's beginning production again tomorrow. He's starting production.
He filed a lawsuit.
He will be on the line, and he says if anyone's getting arrested, he wants it to be him.
He's a badass.
I wonder what happens here because he pays a lot of taxes. Mm-hmm. He pays a lot of taxes.
They're the last car company in California.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, do you go and make an example of EEM? The Muskster.
That becomes California versus Elon Musk, and then or the county. But how many jobs does that factory facilitate for that county? Okay, Gigafactory, really? 10,000 jobs. You have to imagine a lot of those people probably live around the surrounding area. They need work. They need to.
Yeah.
They take proper precautions, mask, gloves, all that stuff. They could probably still be able to do their job just by abiding by regulations that are.
Shouldn't he be? Forgive me if I'm mistaken, but shouldn't he be home with the kid?
Oh, is New Kid X Archangel X Ash 12 Archangel S 31?
When you're a billionaire, that's a zero. You got a lot of people to take care of your babies.
It's it is the kid's name is pronounced X Ash A 12, which is awesome.
What do you? I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, that's a
the,
big
the name.
No, not the name. The name is coordinates for a bombing run in Afghanistan. I don't know what the fuck that shit is, dude. Are you kidding? What I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is this. What do you guys think about Moolah raising your chulas, your kids?
I think it's
so sorry.
It's good to have knowledge about raising a child. If you can. If you are a person who has never raised a child, Elon has had many kids before. So he knows.
What? Many kids?
What is he? Yeah, he's a father.
Like four or five kids.
He's dead.
Really? Already, I don't know shit about
this. I think
this
is the first one with Grimes.
I just know he's really smart.
This is his first child with Grimes. And
Grimes.
If you.
It's Grimes.
This sounds like
a
Pokemon.
If you don't know or you are unable to take care of your child, but you have another way to do so and give it everything that it needs, I think it would be wise to employ your money to work with someone who's a professional child raiser that can. You know,
he's talking about a nanny,
but not just any nanny. I'm talking, he probably has the best, someone that's like a child psychologist.
I'll be his nanny.
No, you're a manny.
That's if they have that. I don't know. Maybe
I'll be a nanny
holding it down.
The reason I ask is because I've had one high profile woman who I won't mention ask about us having children, and I've said, you know, hey, listen, like, you don't have the fucking time, and I sure as fuck don't have the fucking time to play catch with little fucking A764-3.
Yeah.
So what the F are we going to do? And she's like, babe, there's a reason why I fucking do OnlyFans. Not that that's the girl I'm talking, but as an example, is to pay for fucking shit like that.
It's so crazy because you're adamantly not trying to have a kid and your partner is, and I'm the opposite. I'm adamantly trying.
Why don't you guys just
don't say it? Don't say it, please don't.
Nah, man, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it.
I didn't say that. I didn't fucking say it. He fucking said it. I didn't fucking say it. Stop.
Wow. Visceral reaction.
Something tells me this is like a.
I think there's something deeper going on.
Yeah, the last thing I need is for anyone to imagine that I planted that fucking idea via Neuralink.
What?
Yo, but I get crazy. All right, impulsive moment. I'm going to talk about something completely different that we probably should have hit earlier, sort of dealing with Neuralink and how I get anxiety about certain things and like these like macro ideas of like, what are we really doing on this rock? Like, what are we really doing here? Mm-hmm. And we were flying the drone, getting the one shot for the commercial over the weekend. And Ari is flying it manually. Now, if you've ever flown a drone, you have to fly the drone, point the camera, make sure it's smooth, make sure you don't hit any obstacles. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And I'm watching him do this, follow me going 30 miles an hour on a dirt bike. And I'm like, in my head, I go, okay, this is cool. We like, you know, 10 years ago, there's no such thing as drone shots and there's no aerial coverage of anything on YouTube. Now we can do it. But also, this is stupid. This is so rudimentary. This is so rudimentary how he can barely follow me on this dirt bike. And I picture my kids and me having to talk to them about the technology we use to capture and interact. And I'm like, hey, you know, we had to go on our phones and fly the drone and point at what you were shooting. And they're going to go, wait, you had to touch your phone to use it? you had to make contact with your phone to make an action occur.
It took you 30 seconds to download an app.
What's your problem, Dad?
What about my parents who didn't even have a phone?
Dude,
and then you made a comment, bro. They're not even gonna say that. They're gonna say. Wait a second, your phone wasn't in your brain?
And they won't even be saying that. They'll just be beaming it to your head.
Exactly. Just like staring at you and you're just interacting with your kids at dinner. A silent dinner. You, your wife, and your two kids just all looking at each other.
But
communicating.
You're also all having conversations at the same time. You're having a simultaneous conversation with your wife, your daughter, your son, and the dog, because we figured out how to do it to dogs too. And now we can talk to dogs because of Neuralink.
But keep in mind, you're at this silent dinner. Everyone has their Neuralink in. Everyone's looking at each other. No one's having conversation because everyone's watching a YouTube video in their brain. The kids are watching a YouTube video. The dad's reading the New York Times. The mom is reading a sex novel. Yeah. So now we don't even need to hold our phones in front of our face to ignore the fuck out of each other.
Wow.
We just can see how we ignore everyone.
Consciously ignoring.
This is the beginning of conscious ignorance. The Neuralink will be the first step in conscious ignorance. You can now ignore anyone without covering your eyes, your ears, nothing. You just simply flip a switch when some dumbass is talking to you at the bar and you're watching your favorite show.
Until he
the
starts-
David Dobrik vlog channel, which is my favorite.
Until he starts actually just talking to you because we're still humans and we can still talk.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Try talking to me while I have Neuralink's new conscious ignorance system in play.
Just like noise canceling in your brain.
Sorry, were you saying something? I was just watching a video about Fiji in my brain. Oh.
But this gives me anxiety.
Why?
Because
it's a lot of change.
I mean, shit.
Completely agree with that last statement.
There's a lot of change, man. And, you know, that's what the whole world is built around. The only thing that's constant is change. And if you don't join them, you're going to lose out. And maybe that's fine for some people. Some people are going to go off in the wilderness and they're going to still live their normal lives without having a Neuralink.
Can you imagine? Everyone just goes to the wilderness.
Everyone
abandons all civilization and structure.
And the wilderness becomes the new city because everyone's in the wilderness. And wilderness you go down to the watering hole to get your water and there's a line. And there's a barista and they're like, how much water do you want today, sir?
And everyone has a mask on because Corona never went away.
Yeah. Worlds have crumbled before.
We almost done with quarantine. We're almost done, right?
It's getting close, bro. Where are we going? Where are we dropping, boys?
Maybe doing a Euro trip. I'm long overdue for some travel.
I'd love to go to just like a bar with you guys and have a beer or something.
Ah, can't do it.
Well, you can have no duels.
Sober still?
Sober 2020. Not a fucking sip, not a lick, not a dick.
Nice.
You've had a long time getting sober from dick, Mike.
Anyways.
you made a comment to me the other day.
Yeah, what was it, Jimmy?
In the podcast leading up to 2020, you said, do you remember us talking about not drinking for the year and us wondering what the effect would be and if it'd be good for us, if we could even do it? And I mean, look at the shit we've done.
Just crazy.
I think this is a prime example of how effective you can be when you're sober. Unfortunately, like, I hate to say it, y'all. I like to drink. I like to have fun like the next guy. But there are so many benefits to staying sober and focused
and in
that right level-headed state of mind.
Bro, you don't have to be an Impulsive or Logan Paul Vlogs OG to remember us having this conversation about we were going to try stopping. What would it do?
Yep.
As you just said, all of those things, I just simply repeated them in a shorter sense. You don't have to be an OG to remember that shit. When I started Sober 2020 alongside my good friends here, I had a book that was 30% done. Mm-hmm. I had a night shift that was getting done, if possible. I had no clothing line. Mm-hmm. The amount of fucking things I have done in the first 6 months of this year that will set me up for the rest of my fucking life because of a 6 month dry run that is now going to be a 12 month dry run. And let me fucking tell, maybe more. And let me tell you what I'm going to do over the next 6 months is going to make what happened in the last 6 months look like what happened in the last 6 months before that six months.
Wow. Yeah, exponential. Yeah.
Crazy. It has been great. I felt clear minded.
Yeah.
I've been driven. Yeah. I've woken up every day and said, I feel good today. I can go to the gym before everyone else even wakes up. Do I do that? No. I lay in bed and jerk off and watch shit on my phone.
Yep.
But I could. Because I'm not hungover and I'm not tired and I don't feel like shit. My skin's not dry. And I don't have huge bags under my eyes. My brain isn't struggling to keep up with this psychopath.
It is so great having both of you be in that mindset right now. Because when the hide nights happen and then it's the after party and the after party and you've gone Saturday, Friday and Saturday and then it's Sunday morning and you're both double hungover.
Yeah.
It is miserable to be around you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I still like you guys, but like I kind of just want to stay away.
It's the worst. Being hungover sucks. It alters my mood. I'm meaner. I don't want to do anything. Chalk the day up to the game. You've lost the day of your life.
You're already short with people, and that makes it worse.
Facts. You know what else helps? Those girls that we got.
Girlfriend. Like, what?
You got girlfriends?
Do you think
they help?
Do you think that me and him,
they help
going out, partying,
party,
ending up at after parties, ending up at after parties, and then back here. Do you think we'd still have? Do you think we'd have girlfriends?
No.
No fucking shot, bro. Yeah. Because some little skedaddly dadly will be doing something I didn't want her to do, and maybe I did at the time, but I don't now. Under any circumstance, want to do that kind of stuff now. I'm just making that crazy clear.
Mike's head is permanently in the guillotine. Mike, relationship, bro.
The police are on his trail.
No, I'm just playing.
I'm slowly finding my form as a boyfriend. And it's fascinating because it's been a while since I've been here. And even when I was here last time, it wasn't like, you know, I was a fraction of the man I am today. Like the man.
You are actual, crushing.
Actual man, bro.
You are crushing it. You actually, I have to say this.
Thanks, man.
You are making, you're making me look bad, bro. In some ways, in some ways. Because then David actually is doing a really good job, German videographer. Yeah.
It's because, I'm going to be honest, bro. It may be because I actually thoroughly enjoy cuddling. I really, like it.
That's been hurting me.
Like, because you don't, right? You hate it.
I've come around to it a little bit, but it's just a tough pill for a girl to swallow because girls love all that shit. Mm. Like, they love to be smushed, cushy, you know, rolled up together in kissy cuddles, you know? And it's just like, it's like, remember when you buried me in the sand yesterday?
Yes.
And you kept telling, and there was a girl on top of me and then more sand on top of her. And we took all the pictures in the video and I kept saying to you, I have another 2 minutes here before I have to get out of this hole because I'm feeling that feeling of someone is holding me and I don't want to be in that situation anymore. That's how I feel like when I'm cuddling. This is another example of my issue that I talked to you guys about affection, intimacy, love, and like
I'm
the
so
feelings
glad
that
we came
I,
back
yes,
to this.
I just like when I'm cuddling, like sometimes I just get these intense, and I'm sure someone watching this, it might be a small crew, understands what I'm talking about. I get this intense desire to not be cuddling anymore.
That's
crazy. Go. In my brain, I hear a small man giving me coordinates of the fallback position. Move. Now, get out, soldier, get out. And then I roll over and I face the other direction.
That's insane, Mike.
I know. Well, it's just, you know, some of us are fucked up, dude. I'm fucked up.
My question for you about this is, do you have any fictional character identities that you've like kind of absorbed into yourself?
Little Timmy.
I was going to say Link from Zelda.
I could definitely see that, but I'm more so talking like Sopranos type thing. Like, do you super identify? Like, because the hard alpha male with no emotions or emotional responses to things deeply afraid of love and
that's
loving
me. Yeah, for sure.
That is, to me, like, I face this in my own life, watching The Godfather, like the whole saga, the whole thing. I became so infatuated with the character of Don Corleone and his brash but like stiff arm mentality that it like infected my mindset, and in college I was unable to really give love to someone that I probably should have. But it was because I was like, oh, Don Corleone is so cool. He doesn't give love like that. He's just a cold stone.
You know
man.
Who you should try to emulate? Matthew McConaughey in The Gentlemen. Cool. In The Gentlemen.
He's so cool. It's scary because every time I watch that movie, I have flashbacks to my college wish.
Bro, Matthew McConaughey in The Gentlemen is the shit.
The Gentlemen.
Just a alpha male boss ass businessman. Mm-hmm. Who loves his wife more than anything in the world. Like he's a simp in the movie, but he makes being a simp cool. And also, I'll say this now that I like understand the idea of simp.
Yeah.
Bro, being a simp's kind of fucking dope. Like, if you were showing affection to the girl you care about, like...
No, you're using it again.
Wrong context.
Yeah, because you can't simp for a girlfriend. I told you that.
You just be a good boyfriend.
You're just being a good boyfriend. Okay. And like you talk about The Godfather, and I look at Sonny as probably who I would be closer to out of that group. Because Michael was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Michael Corleone was a sweetheart. But Sonny Corleone was a fucking asshole.
Yep.
And like, he just... I don't know what it is, bro. I just never, I think that addiction and the mentality of being focused solely on one goal, whether it's to fuck your life completely or make it the best possible, it continues on in the rest of your aspects of life after you become clean. And so when I wake up in the morning and it's time for cuddles for an hour and to sit there and have pillow talk, I'm thinking about the minutes ticking off the fucking clock.
Yeah.
I got to get down there. I got to call with my agent. I got to get this book promoted. My brain's going, go. No time for fucking cuddly kisses.
Uh-huh. But I'm the opposite. It's literally the exact opposite. It is the moment when I am most content in my life. In my life.
Right.
Just nestling yourself in another human and just realizing like that's like at this exact moment, it's quite literally the only thing that matters. And just like sitting until the next thing happens. I love it. Except I've realized this relationship has turned me more into a baby. I'm talking like a baby.
Oh God. I brought it up to you.
Why am I doing this?
Everything. This is one thing that I've been so adamant about. There's nothing worse than the baby couples. There's just nothing worse. It's the worst. They're the worst kind of couple.
He's right.
You
he's
go
right.
to the bar and they're sitting at the bar and some dude's ordering a fucking whiskey next to him and he's going, ba-ba-ba-doo-ba-boo-ba-doo-boo. I boochie, boochie, boochie. Oh, and wow. She goes, a baby dooby booby. And you're just sitting there and you're like, I know murder's illegal. I know murder's illegal, but I will walk that fucking line if I have to. That is my worst fear confirmed. And like, imagine me and Amar on the opposite side, the non-affectionate kind of like, because of me, a little bit colder. And we're just sitting there watching a movie, like I'll have my arm around her like this. And they're intertwined into a human pretzel speaking like infants. A booba chuba dooba booby. And she's like, can we get pizza later, Logan? And he's like, a boo doo boo 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 doo boo. And I'm just like, yo,
I actually hate it. He's
this
right.
This ain't good.
He's right. Because like, I don't like the baby couples either. And the issue as well is baby legs.
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. That was funny. But the issue as well is she loves animals and I love animals and I have a lot of them. So we have our animal voices and then our cute affectionate voices at each other. And those combined, we're pretty much just babbling idiots all day.
So, can you
like, hi, Mrs.
Not very different
hi,
from like
sir,
normal life anyway.
Mr. Sir, come fly to me. Broly, so good to see you. You're such a little dog. Yeah. And then you know, to Josie, I'll be like, I don't even want to do it. Bro, but every dude knows this. Yeah. I see Bieber doing this on Instagram too. Like, what did he call? He calls his girl like a weird, like really young-ish like nickname. But this has to be a thing in pet names.
You can call people baby, lover, peanut, whatever you want to call someone.
I phrase myself or make myself look like the fucking Ice King. But like, you see me. I call her all those. I do that stuff too. I don't do the baby talk, but I do know that other girls see it happening and girls love that shit. Like, that's another thing that you guys do that like, my girlfriend's probably like, here's this fuck ass, like, doesn't even want to hug me. And this dude's talking to his girlfriend like he's never learned how to speak in his life. He's trying to find his first words, you know? Like,
oh, no.
It is funny. It's funny to watch. I love seeing the new relationship, but also, like, the nuances of it and how they differ from other relationships. Like, we have three relationships in this house right now.
It's crazy, right?
And they're Andre and Blue, as well. And they're all vastly different. And, you know, watching David and Eve has been interesting, too, because Amar tells me that he's, like, simp capital of the world. But he can't be a simp because it's his girlfriend. Yeah. But he's, like...
David's always told me that his dream is to, like... have a wife and a family. Like, that's his dream. He wants to have a wife and a family.
What if Eve is the one?
It might be. We might find out.
Wow. I love that. They're
he's
so
got,
great.
He's got 30 million healthy German sperms swimming around.
It's a small nation, but they'll do just fine.
They're looking at...
They're productive and efficient.
Said, Mac. Once they get that blitzkrieg going, hard to stop. Especially when they're nailing down the borders of Poland.
Facts. They're looking at...
Canada.
They're looking at Sweet Girl. From Canada, that Eve, you know, real down home girl.
She can sing.
She can sing. She can make food.
We should get her in the studio.
She's a sweet girl, but let me tell you something. Like I said, she's looking at OnlyFans, just like Everett.
Shut up.
Yep. She's her and David
not,
are
not serious.
Listen, let me tell you.
They'd be a powerhouse. They'd be a powerhouse.
What?
Yeah.
I hate to go back to it, but you see these fucking girls. Buying these fucking Lambos, and you're sitting there and you're like, damn, this 50K annual ain't like people are looking at that platform, dude.
What about
it's weird?
We came up with a new platform at the ranch this week.
Yes,
only crans.
No, it's close, it's interesting. There's a market for women to pose nude online, okay?
Large,
and there's probably one for men too. We're interested in starting OnlyMans. Sign up right now, it's $10.99 a month.
That one's good. That one's good.
There will be tasteful nudes of every man you've ever wanted to see.
Yep,
that one is good. And so if it's not registered as people watch this, it is right after you said it in the public domain. Somebody's registering it right now as they watch
this.
Go for
it. I want 10%. Ari gets 10, and Brian BB Beck with DP gets 10.
Sorry, now you're talking about DPs.
Yeah,
I understand. We're talking about OnlyFans.
You can get DP on OnlyMans.
Yeah, you can see BB the DP's DP on OnlyMans right now.
We'll also be starting an OnlyMans spinoff called Lonely Fans for those of you who are really isolated
and you want to pay people to have friends. So I have a whole bunch of money. I'm very lonely, and I'm going to pay for you to look at me.
You know, I started two small businesses already built off the same platform. I started my own OnlyFans, which is a store for air dispersion devices, rotating circular fans. It's
literally OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. It's the only thing
we
sell.
Cool shit.
And also, I started a business. As you know, everybody is having trouble going outside. There's a lot of people that need some sort of synthetic sunlight. I started a place called Only Tans as well, and it's a place where you can get, you know, bronzed up for the summer.
Elon Musk, you guys don't actually know this, invented this machine. It's like early stages of cloning, and there's a lot of kids out there who actually have not had a good upbringing, and their parents are maybe like a subpar mentor. My mom was a very good one, and I think she could fulfill that position, that void for a lot of kids, and I think we're going to clone her using Elon's tool, and I'm going to start an app. It's going to be called Only Pams. Only Pams. It's literally Only Pams.
Nice driveway in on that one, dude. Nice fucking driveway in. It's like you strategized it using a website I actually just launched called Only Plans. It's a site you can go when you want to put together
We should stop. It's more fun when you're hungover after one night in London and you're on your way to the airport. That game's
I'll never forget that.
Describe that game. How would you describe that game to anyone listening?
Because
we tried to do it.
We tried. It didn't work.
This game is you have to create a rhyming word based off of someone's name and describe what that word is using context clues.
Yep.
So I cannot think of an example right now.
But let's use his name, Mike Malak.
Yeah. So
I got one.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So if you're a long way from home and you only rode a two wheel transportation vehicle and you gotta end up back home, what do you do?
You bike way back.
You bike way back.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's such a.
This is so ridiculous because we hadn't slept in so long and it seemed like such a great game to play. We crushed it. We played it for three fucking hours.
It was.
If you ever start to wonder how much is wrong with these guys besides the degeneracy I see on this podcast, those are the kind of games we play.
Oh, yeah.
Alliteration games, like
rhyming with context clues in the taxi cab on that way to the airport. That was a great day, though. We were all just loopy.
Yeah, we had just done the press conference for the fight that Logan said he was going to 100% guarantee, no questions asked, win.
Yeah, it's still coming up November 9th. Check his YouTube banner.
Pull it up.
I'm getting reamed for this one.
It is happening. Logan Paul will be changing his YouTube banner.
Shortly, May 22nd, upon the release. Look, we're all right, guys.
How is this possible?
I don't.
He's the biggest YouTuber in the world promoting a fight that happened last year.
We're working on it. All right, guys. So the Maverick launch and my new banner will be happening May 22nd. It's going to be awesome. Maverick clothing. Go get Mike's book, The Fifth Vital Sign: Master Your Cycles and Optimize Your Fertility. And thank you for listening to this wild, fun, kind of crazy, eclectic episode of Impulsive. Bye.
This podcast is supported by Morgan Stanley.
What do you get from the Morgan Stanley client experience? Listening more than talking, and a personalized plan to guide you through a changing world.
To learn more, visit morganstanley.com/YUS. Investing involves risk. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.